Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? It is Monday. Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. There's nothing happening. We're not going to have a show today. You know I'm kidding with that. Big Ben is hurt out for the year. Drew Brees is hurt. Have we seen the last of Eli? Will we see Daniel Jones? How good? How bad is Miami? How good is Lamar Jackson and Baltimore? Refs made bad calls in Denver both ways. AHU is ranked. The Cubs are holding on. The Diamondbacks are playing out. There's just too much. We're going to get into it. We're going to do it all right here on the Cave Show with PLR. We're brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you, take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Become a club member, get a locker to backflip to a humidor, and never worry about your sticks going bad. Get down there, relax. They're now serving beer and wine. Watch one of the many televisions, like I told you, MLB, NFL, NCAA. You can watch them all from right there, very comfortable. There's a lounge, and there's also another sitting area. There are over 10 big screen TVs there. For you to sit down, enjoy, watch your favorite game, smoke your favorite cigar. Get down there and check them out. Like I said, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights, 4991 South Alma School to be exact. We will be down there Thursday, as Thursdays are our day to be down there live. If you get down there, I'm live. 15% off any other time. They will take 10% off your cigar purchase. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. We are loaded today. We also have the one and only Jose Romero giving us a call in about 10 minutes or so, 8 minutes or so. 22-year vet, AP Sports, the lead freelance reporter for AP Sports in Phoenix. We'll catch up with him. Call in number 917-889-7828. That is the Lackey Law Line. Do have a caller on hold. I want to get him in before we get to other stuff. Thank you for holding. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show.
Good afternoon, Paul. This is Lou.
Lou, do we have anything to talk about? I mean, is there anything going on in the world of sports?
Gee, let me see here. Well, week two of the NFL is coming to a close, and I was right about yesterday's Dallas-Washington game. I said the Cowboys were going to go into Washington and beat them up, and they did. So, ha-ha.
You're not getting a doubt from me. I said I think the Cowboys
but
maybe...
my colleagues in Washington thought differently.
I'm like, you're not getting an argument from me. I think the Cowboys are one of the top two teams in the NFC.
Yes.
And if I was Jerry Jones, I think I'd pay Zeke now. I mean Dak now.
Oh, yeah.
Every week there's another zero at it. I'd pay him now.
Yeah, do it while you can. Because the longer you wait, the more complicated it's going to get.
Yeah, because he looks really good. And Dallas looks really, really
good. I wish I could say the same thing for the Giants. I mean, you lost to the Bills. Oh, boy.
Well, from what the Bills quarterback said, they're really the only team that plays in New York.
Technicality, yes. It's not New York City. I mean, it is New York, but, you know, they're more closer to Canada.
No, but I guess his point is the Giants and the Jets play in New Jersey.
Yeah, but it serves the New York metropolitan area. Buffalo does not.
I hear you. But he's talking about the state.
Yeah, I know. And he's one good technical about it. Yeah, of course. Yeah, but you got more fans in Canada than you do in New York, buddy.
it's looking like Drew Brees is going to have surgery, and he should miss about 6 weeks. So
I mean, really,
we're down to the
isn't it a little bit too cautious? I mean, 6 weeks just for a thumb injury? I mean, I've seen players that come back just a week or two after a concussion. I mean, really?
Yeah, but he's got a grip of football.
I get it. But, I mean, it still seems, you know, less severe than saying having something like a concussion or whatnot, or, you know, or leg broken.
You know what? This may sound crazy. He could probably deal with, like, crack in the leg before he could with anything that has to do with his hands. Because even if it's on his opposite hand, I've had a quarterback tell me that impacts you too, because that's your catch hand that the center constantly hits your hand with.
Mm.
But this is on his throwing hand. So he can't properly grip a football and get a football out of there if his hands are no good. So, but that tough break for the Saints.
Yeah, and about Big Ben too. I mean, it's bad news for Pittsburgh as well.
Yeah. Well, okay, and I don't mean any disrespect to Pittsburgh, especially since it's my youngest son's and my wife's favorite team. But no disrespect to them, they weren't picked to go to the Super Bowl. Whereas the Saints have aspirations of doing that. And when you look at their stretchers, let's say he has to have the surgery and he opts to have the surgery, and he would miss 6 weeks. This would be their games over the next 6 weeks. At the Seahawks, that's not a walk in the park.
No.
Then the Cowboys, that's a walk in the park. A divisional game against the Buccaneers. And I know the Jaguars aren't great, and they're down their quarterback, but they have a really good defense, and they got to travel there, and then they have to turn around and travel to Chicago before they get the Cardinals at home. That's a tough stretch. That's a stretch where you can go 2-4. And if you go 2-4, that's not good. You're looking at 3-5 to wrap up the season. That means you got to do a whole lot of winning at the end, and no one wants to be in that position.
It does put a damper on things, doesn't it?
Really does.
Yeah. But I don't think it's the last of Eli just yet. I mean, it's going to be his last season, no question about it. But I don't think it's the last game of the season that he's not going to start. I still think, especially if Jones bombs out, because we don't know what he's going to do. So I don't think we've seen the last of Eli just yet.
But see, here's the thing. I think once the Giants go to Daniel Jones, I think they then have to stick with Daniel Jones. I really do, because they're obviously not a good football team. I mean, I'm not using words. I'm not being mean. They're just not a good football team. So if you go to Daniel Jones and you make up in your mind, this is the guy that's going to lead us to the future, you can't go back to the past. Once you go to Daniel Jones, drafted that high as your future, that's now your quarterback. So I think that's why they're really trying to figure out what they're going to do with Eli, because you can't make that move and go back. And I know a lot of people say, oh, well, people say you can't go back. You really can't go back, though, because it makes no sense to make the move with the mind. Well, when would you go back? Would they have to play worse? Could they play worse? And then all of a sudden they start playing better. Is that when you go to Eli after they're playing well and the kid has momentum? I mean, when you look at the upcoming schedule, if anything, maybe you hold him for the bye week in a perfect world. But coming up, the Bucs in Tampa, where honestly I don't think they can beat them in Tampa. They get the Redskins at home, and then they play the Vikings, good. The Patriots, good. And then they obviously got the Cardinals, but they still have the Cowboys and the Bears and the Packers and the Eagles on the schedule. This is not going to be a good team. So why not?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I have this question. What are you holding him for? What are you waiting for at this point? Eli's shown you nothing. And Eli's shown you nothing a lot, partially because – no disrespect, he's old. The line is broken. He's old. You have Saquon Barkley. So what do you say? I guess, what are you waiting for? What's the perfect moment to bring Daniel Jones in? But we'll have to answer that one tomorrow because I got to jump on you. My friend got my guest calling in. So we'll talk tomorrow, and we'll figure out why are we holding Eli.
I'll sleep on it. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you then. Coming up on the line in 15 seconds, lead freelance for the AP Sports in Phoenix, 22-year vet, Jose Romero. We're going to have him in exactly 15 seconds.
The Law Office of Carrie Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Carrie Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Online with us right now on the Carrie Lackey Law Line here on the Cave Show with PLR. This is my man here. He is everywhere. There is nothing that he hasn't covered. And to say that he has a pulse on what goes on in the city is an understatement. Like I said, he's the lead freelancer for AP Sports in Phoenix, 22-year veteran. He hooked me and my family up to see the Arizona Hotshots. My son still rocks the hat that he gave him. My man, Jose Romero. Romero, what's up, buddy? How are you? Welcome to the game.
What's up, Paul? Man, it is great to be on, man. How many years? Ever since I met you at Surprise at that tennis event, man, and now all these years later, I get to be on the show, so it's a great honor for me.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. It's my fault that it took this long, and I completely forgot about that. That was a fun tournament. I wish they still did that.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's not often you get to sit down and talk to a great like Johnny Manek and just have him just go on for forever. But, yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. So I got to ask you, you were at the D-backs game the other day, when I saw you there, and do you feel like this was a season lost and that maybe if they would have made maybe a move here or not made a move there or done one thing different, this is a team that would be actually really in the wild card position?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many like what ifs, right, with this team. I mean, the big problem with them is they're just so inconsistent. I mean, they can't, what do they have, 12 runs in the last 8 games. At a time when they really need to hit and score, it's not happening. And the pitching, Zach Gallen's been great. I mean, you can't ask for more than what he's given you since he's come over in the trade with the Marlins. Merrill Kelly has kind of figured some things out. The pitching has, you know, the bullpen has come around. Archie Bradley's obviously come around. So things are good in some areas, but when you need the hits and when you need guys like Eduardo Escobar and Ketel Marte to carry you right now, it's not happening.
You could call this team basically the movie Friday of baseball. They never have two things that match. They have pitching and no hitting. and no pitching. Starting and no relieving. They just can't seem to put it all together at once. Why do you think that is? Is it just they're just young, or there's not one leader that kind of rallies everyone? Why do you think that's the case?
That's funny you made that analogy because immediately I thought of John Witherspoon and his unmatched clothes, but maybe that's not what you're referring to. But
it's exactly what I was referring to.
John Witherspoon. Yeah, I think there's just there is kind of maybe a leadership void there. I think David Peralta, I thought, was going to be the guy, you know, who's really, Torrey Lovello was talking about he has a leadership council. He's got a group of guys that he leans on in that clubhouse to talk to about what's going on with the team, what's the pulse of the team. David Peralta, I thought, was really one of those main guys, and he's been hurt, and he hasn't been in there. He's kind of like the straw that stirs the drink, if there is a guy on the team that does that. And, you can say what you want about Archie Bradley's fiery ways and how he's really, gets amped about saves and making plays and stuff. But not having Peralta, I think, has hurt. And how bad he wants to be out there. Eduardo Escobar maybe could take on that role as well. But, you know, you have also sometimes there's a communication thing, you know. I know that when we talked to Eduardo Escobar in the clubhouse after games, I could converse with him freely in Spanish. You know, the other reporters can't. And so there might be a situation there where he just can't get a message across outside of being his personal effervescent bubbly self.
Right.
But they kind of need somebody to light a fire under them to get it going.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line, the one, the only, Jose Romero, lead freelancer for the AP Sports here in Phoenix. Is it fair to say when they got swept by the Mets, that really was it? I mean, technically, whenever you go to mathematically, that's really that's it right there. You know, that's bad. But getting swept by the Mets, is that pretty much it, to be honest?
Yeah, I think so, because that's a team that was right with them in the wild card race. And you got to beat those teams that are either ahead of you or right there next to you head to head. And they'd actually been pretty good on the road. And then they went out there and just they couldn't put it together. I don't really think the Mets are going anywhere either. But still, you know, that's a team that if you get, you know, at least a split, you give yourself some hope. The Cubs were faltering at the time when the Mets were losing, were beating the Diamondbacks. So there was a chance there to move up. But now the Cubs are rolling. I mean, they lost to Anthony Rizzo. He got hurt yesterday. But they're rolling, and the Diamondbacks are not winning. They're not winning enough. They're in a pretty bad skid. It's almost lights out time out here.
You know, there's nothing worse for athletes, obviously, than playing off the schedule. But covering sports, when you're playing off the schedule, when you get down to that, no longer mathematically eliminated, they are eliminated. It's kind of crazy because, like, what are you talking about at this time? The infamous momentum into next season, which I don't know if you're not, and maybe that's a good question to ask you. I don't believe you have momentum that carries over from season to season. I really truly believe every season is a season within itself for baseball and football because anything can happen. So I think it's with that sport, you don't have carryover. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, look at the Cleveland Browns, right? Everybody sort of anointed them as, you know, they're the next up-and-coming team in the AFC. And what they do, they laid an egg in week one. And so whatever momentum they built from whatever they were last year, like 6-9-1, whatever, I can't remember, it wasn't there, you know, after training camp and when the season started. So, I think you're right. I mean, there really is something to that. You know, especially baseball, it's such a long season. It drags on for so long. You've got to start out kind of hot. You got to keep it rolling. You're going to go through your losing streaks here and there. But the Diamondbacks have just had too many of those, like, long winning streaks, you know, where they win a bunch and then lose one or two, and then they lose a whole bunch and lose one or two. And that's just not going to get it done.
On the Kerry Lackey Law Line here on the K-Show with PLR, lead freelancer for AP Sports in Phoenix, the one and only. Dude, I can't believe you've been doing this for 22 years. You don't even look like you've been doing it for 22 years because...
Yeah, it's good genes,
that,
man.
That's impressive. I meant to tell you.
I go back to, let's see, I started out, where was I? 1997, I was working at a weekly Spanish and English language newspaper in my hometown of Portland, Oregon. And there I was, you know, just they gave me a credential. They said, look, if you can get credentials into any of these events, just go and do it and give us a story. Whatever you want, we'll pay you $50 a story. So knowing what I was being paid per story, right, I was just out there. I was going anywhere I could to get into things. Whatever was happening in the Portland area, I tried to be there. And it wasn't just sports. I was, like, doing business profiles and stuff like that, writing news stories. It was a bilingual weekly. Somebody somewhere along the line in my career convinced me that I was a good writer, and I just went with it. So those were good times, man. I got in to see the Blazers for the first time as a media member, and that was just a trip. I mean, I was like, man, that was my team. And then here I was, you know, going covering games as a media guy. But 22 years later and a few stops, you know, here I am.
Yeah, well, you carry that well, because I didn't think you were old enough to be in the game for 22 years. I thought you were just in your lower 30s all this time.
Oh,
So I was,
oh, you're, dude, you're flattering me.
I was doing the math. I was like, wait a second. He started riding when he was 10?
Well, that's awesome. I wish, man. I wish I was a prodigy like that. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, I know. Look, quick question, NFL, before I let you go. The Cardinals, I'm seeing a lot of hype. I'm seeing a lot of joy. I'm seeing a lot of progression. And I'm going to say this about them that I said about the Suns, the same thing. You're going to see a more competitive team, but you may not necessarily see the wins with the competitiveness. So they're going to be entertaining, and they're going to stay in games. And I've been told I'm a hater, and I promise you I'm not. But do you see something that says that this is a team that's going to win 7-8 games? I'm hearing some people say, I see 4 victories. And I'm looking at the schedule, I don't see more than that. And it's not a dogging them, because last year I thought they were just a bad team. I think this year they're an up-and-coming competitive team. I still don't see more than 4 or 5 wins.
And there's nothing wrong with your assessment, Paul, because it is an up-and-coming team. I mean, let's start at quarterback. I mean, Kyler Murray is a clear upgrade over Josh Rosen. Clear cut. I mean, can do more accurate, better runner, just a more excitable guy to watch. And look, if you're gonna be a 4-win team, at least you got a guy like Kyler Murray who's gonna put butts in the seat. You know, I mean, it's not like they have too much of a problem selling tickets anyway, but still, Kyler Murray is going to excite people, even when it's, you know, look at these games. Would they rather be 2-0? Would they rather be 1-1? Yes. But to bring the team back from a sure loss against Detroit and get the tie, and then, you know, hanging in that game yesterday in Baltimore, that's a tough place to play. You know, there's definitely reason to look up. There's definitely lots to be happy and excited about if you're a Cardinals fan. I don't think you're being a hater at all. I think 4 wins is pretty realistic for them. You know, they might get 1 or 2 more here and there, but I'd be surprised if that happened. But still, it's like, you know, be happy right now, because things can only get better for the Cardinals with what they're doing so far.
Agreed. And then the first thing you said to me when I saw you on Saturday was, did you know ASU won? Which, I mean, obviously, kidding. I'm like, no. Did they win? But with them winning, and I asked Coach this about not even an hour ago, last year this team started out 3-0 with the big win over Michigan State. And then they went out to San Diego State and for 3 quarters promptly got their butts handed to them. Came back in the fourth, it just wasn't enough. This is setting up the exact same way. Colorado's coming into town. They've got a receiver that can just ball out. He scored all 28 points for them last year. This is setting up the exact same way. They're ranked going in. They're ranked going into San Diego State. Do you think we'll see something different this year? Do you think they learned their lesson not to get ahead of themselves, not to get over their skis and say, hey, we still haven't done anything, versus last year where I think they, as young men, started filling themselves a little bit?
Well, and that's the joy of having a guy like Jaden Daniels, right? Like, last year doesn't matter to him because he wasn't even there. So he's approaching this like, hey, you know, I can win every game I go out and play. And I think maybe that's kind of where it might be a little different for the Sun Devils this year. You know, you gotta look at them as them and Utah as the top 2 teams in the South right now. And Utah's got a pretty nice defense, and ASU's going to be challenged when they play them. But, you know, that guy is man, are we lucky here or what? We've got a rookie quarterback with the Cardinals. We've got this Jaden Daniels at ASU who's a freshman, brand new faces here in town, and they're really making some things happen. They're making some good decisions and making some good plays. And, you know, Michigan State, I think, is sort of the they should avoid playing Pac-12 teams, because I was thinking about it in my head, and I can remember them losing to at least 3 Pac-12 opponents in recent years. And it just seems like they kind of play down, or they just don't do well against the Pac-12. And that's a credit also to Herm and the coaching staff at ASU. They didn't get much, but they, you know, they did what they had. They worked with what they had, and they made it happen at the end. That's going to be a good game when Colorado plays, and it'll be interesting to see how well or how flat or how well ASU comes out and takes it to them. I think there is a new energy there.
You know, I'll let you go on this statement. I find it funny. I remember a lot of people in the business that we're in called for Todd Graham to lose his job. It was time for Todd to go, time for Todd to go. Todd Graham loses his job. Oh, it's a good thing they let him go. We had to do something different. They hire Herm, and we hear, and I I'm not going to call on names. The game's passed Herm by. Why are we hiring Herm? We should go. We should have just stuck with Todd Graham the whole time. Now we're hearing, oh, Herm's doing a great job. Sometimes I just wish I could play tapes. Just come on the show and just play quotes of our some of our peers. It's like, look, when we decide to, when the university decides to move on, you move on. Everyone thought it was a good move to move on. Todd was a great guy. He was a coach we needed following Dennis Erickson to provide some structure. But as much as I like Todd Graham, I'm just going to be honest. He couldn't recruit at all. And that's part of the game. So I love the direction of this. And the one thing I've learned about Herm, he does not change. They went in there with the game plan. They stuck to the game plan. And I think with Colorado, they'll go in with the game plan. I think they'll stick to the game plan.
Yeah, I think that's what he brings. He's got, you know, how long was he out of coaching? I mean, while doing broadcasting for a long time. But you're a coach, man. If you've been a coach, and I wouldn't know, but, like, coaching is in his blood. You can just see it. And to be able to work with young men and, you know, take them – grow them as individuals and players. I mean, that must be just the ultimate thrill for Herm Edwards. No wonder he wakes up at 4 or 5 in the morning full of energy to go work out, because he probably has the greatest job he could ever hope for right now. He's getting to mold young people's minds and bodies, and you know, you can just see it. I mean, you can see kind of the energy out there. I like how he doesn't get too high about Jaden Daniels. He's not too quick to give him, you know, lavish him with compliments. He keeps it real with that, saying he could have done this better and that. And the thing is, you know, I think ASU fans, sometimes they kind of resign themselves to, oh, we're going to be 8-4 this year. We're going to be 7-5. And we'll get into like a mid-level bowl game or something. And I don't – sometimes the passion just isn't there to do any higher. But and that's what Todd Graham provided, and Herm is kind of on that same path right now. But – you know, it's a great city. It's a great college town, great college atmosphere, great program. I think it only goes up with Herm.
Agreed. Just no El Paso Bowl anymore. I can't go to El Paso. Just no
Sun Bowl, baby.
I can't do it. Any other bowl, I'll take any other bowl. Just not that one. Not that one. Yo, man, don't take another 8 years to come on the show.
We'll do it again, for sure.
All right, buddy. Hey, I really appreciate you doing it.
All right. Have a good one, Paul. We'll see you soon.
You too. I'll see you next couple of days.
Yep.
All right. That was the one, the only lead freelancer for AP Sports in Phoenix. 22-year vet in the game. The one, the only, Jose Romero. That's my man. When I tell you he hooked us up, he really hooked us up. Tickets, caps, the whole nine. That's a big time thanks to my little son. Still is running around with that stuff on. So, very cool. Let's pay a couple bills. Let's talk a little bit more pro football.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So I wanted my best to try. I wanted to try my best, I can speak, to stay away from the AB stuff. But the young lady that accused him of sexual misconduct is meeting with the NFL right now. At this point, unless they can do a 4-day investigation, at this point, I think AB has to go on the commissioner exempt list. I don't think optically it's a good thing for him to continue playing. This has been my stance all along. I thought she was meeting with him next week. And I said that when she meets with him, he has to go on the commissioner exempt list. until some type of determination from an investigation could be made. And I stick to that. I think optically, I know you're innocent until proven guilty in this country. I do understand that. I just think in this case, though, it just looks bad if he's playing with the hint or the opportunity that he could be found guilty. So I would commissioner list him effective tomorrow or effective later tonight and get in the investigation. Get to the bottom of it or as much of it as you can until you can somewhat determine if this is something that should be done. Again, this is a civil thing, not a legal thing, so maybe they'll just take it at its word. There's reports that he refused a $2 million settlement, which I guess would have squashed everything. I don't know. Sometimes I think when people have something to lose and they're willing to fight, that may lean towards their innocence, or if people are in a cloud of their mind and they don't understand what reality is, that can skew it and they could be guilty as all hell and fight for something, Lance Armstrong, fight for something that they know in their heart was wrong to do. This is just a bad story all the way around. Big Ben, Ben Roethlisberger, season-ending surgery. Two things. One, this is a time when all the Terry Bradshaw boobirds come out on Mike Tomlin. And to them, I honestly say go to hell. Mike Tomlin, if he was ever let go by Pittsburgh, would be employed until about 2 minutes after it was announced that he had been let go. Right now, they just are void of talent. And I've been saying this forever, and I've been saying this to Pittsburgh fans for a long time. We got Terry Bradshaw coming out saying, oh, I don't like guys like AB. If he had played with me, I wouldn't have passed him the ball. Then you wouldn't have won, dude. You wouldn't have won. If your offense, if Lynn Swann had that type of personality, and you said, well, I'm not throwing Lynn Swann, I'm only going to throw John Stallworth, you wouldn't have won. So some of that stuff is ridiculous. It's just shut up. And I know Terry Bradshaw is a Hall of Famer, and I respect everything that he's done. But when I get guys saying, oh, I wouldn't have passed it to him, yeah, you would have. And if you wouldn't have, they would have probably put a quarterback in that would. Because as good as Terry Bradshaw is, as good of a quarterback as he was, and as the hardware on his fingers says it all, it's a different game today. And you need the talent. And you can't shut people down. And you can't shut people out. And you can't go on the macho tips like, oh, I wouldn't have ever done that at all. That's one guy that I would have taught him the way we do things and the way he's doing things isn't the right way. And I would show him. No, you wouldn't have. You would have passed him the football. So, I don't really know what to say to stuff like that. Terry Bradshaw in today's NFL probably would not even start. He probably wouldn't even be a Hall of Famer. And I know he got the 4 Super Bowls, but maybe he wouldn't have even got to that point. Terry Bradshaw started out completing 38%, 54%, 47%, 49%, 45%, 57%, and 47% of his passes in his first 7 years. You think he could be the starting quarterback of an NFL team now, completing 47% of his passes? He is a career 51% passer. Now, I know he won the Super Bowl. I want to say it was 75, 76, and then technically 78, 79, the Super Bowl was played the following year. But if nowadays a quarterback pass for 54, 47, 49, and 45, he wouldn't have got another chance. That would have been a wrap. First year, 6 TDs, 24 interceptions. Second year, 13 TDs, 22 interceptions. Third year, 12 TDs, 12 interceptions. Fourth year, 10 TDs, 15 interceptions. Terry Bradshaw ended with 212 touchdowns to 210 interceptions. And the older he got, the better he got. Later in his career, that went to 18-9, and then a 10-9, a 17-19, 28-20, 26-25, 24-22, 22-24. Let's be honest. As great as he was, in his era, if Terry Bradshaw had put up in his first 4 full years of professional football 41 touchdowns. 41 touchdowns versus 73 interceptions, he would have lost his job. So before you start talking about what you wouldn't do, who you wouldn't pass to, you were doing a lot of passing to the other team. Because that's who it looked like you were passing to. No matter how bad your team is, they would have railed you for it. The Saints, Drew Brees, looks like he's going to miss about 6 weeks. He's going to have finger surgery. There was a bad call in L.A. during the Saints and the Rams game. Went against the Saints. I think it's karma for all that whining and moaning and griping that they've done. But that didn't determine the game. And now we got players saying, oh, well, the Foot Locker guys, oh, I mean the referees. Fine his ass for saying that. Fine. Fine the players. Can't get in a press conference and do that to refs. That's what we're told, right? That's what's said, right? I've never seen a team that whines more in my life. And I know it was a bad call. You're supposed to, as a ref, you're supposed to let the play evolve and then settle it, not blow the whistle, hold the whistle. I understand that 100%. And Cameron Jordan has every reason to be upset. He picked up a fumble, and he rumbled all the way down to the other end to score. But that didn't decide the game. That would have put you up 10-3. But when you came out in the second half, you gave up 21 more points. Drew was out. That was a wrap. Love Teddy Bridgewater, but he looked terrible. But what did we get? We got another reason to hear the Saints whine and moan and cry, and good Lord, stop. I know this. You better get right with your schedule, because you guys are about to take a major, major hit with Drew Brees out. I would run student body left, Alvin Kamara, student body right, Alvin Kamara up the middle, chunk it up to Thomas. I would. And I know we're going to be coming up against the clock here really soon, and we haven't really even dived into a lot of games. And tomorrow we have the one and only Aileen Carrasco on, playing her interview that I did with her from the D-back game. So I'm going to try to fly through this as much as possible. Cardinals, they stood up. Not enough. Lamar Jackson. Woo. over 250 passing, over 120 running. Whew. The Bengals are bad. 49ers, surprising people. Bengals are bad. Chargers, what did I tell you? At the beginning of the year, what did I tell you? The Chargers are going to win a game. We're going to say, man, they won that game. And they're going to lose again and say, how did you lose that game? Well, they had that one. Packers look good. Aaron Rodgers and a coach shouting at each other. It was a whole lot of nothing, but let that have been AB shouting at a coach. Just saying. The Colts found a way to beat the Titans. Titans, you're at home. You have momentum. You came off the we're going to shut up the Browns, and you let Jacoby Myers put it on. Patriots beat the Dolphins. Dolphins can't beat the Dolphins. If the Dolphins lined up in the scrimmage, it would be 0-0. Bills beat the Giants. We talked about that. Eli, it's time. Move on. Daniel Jones, let's get it popping. Seahawks beat the Steelers. Listen, you don't like AB, and you're mad because Le'Veon wanted to get paid. You have no talent. So, yeah, you won. You showed everybody. Steelers and Steeler fans, you showed everybody. Monday through Thursday, you showed them all. But on Sunday, you don't have any ball players now. Seahawks do what they do. They find ways. Russell Wilson find ways. Dallas is good. Stop dogging Dak. I had Dak rated lower part of my quarterback ratings. I want to say top 15. Dak is outplaying that. He's balling. Redskins, not a good team. What happened to Josh Norman? Oh, my God, he gets beat a lot by guys I'd never even heard of. What happened to him? The Texans beat the Jaguars. Leonard Fournette is so overrated. That dude is built like a freight train, a semi. I've never seen someone go down so easy in the pros. Chiefs beat the Raiders. It is unfair. Patrick Mahomes, it is unfair. He throws for more yards in a quarter than most quarterbacks throw in a game. It's just unfair. We already talked about the Rams and the Saints. The Eagles had that game, and somehow they found a way to lose. Falcons came back. Both teams are 1-1. The Bears, the Broncos, I don't want to hear crap about the calls. Nothing. Well, that wasn't really – that shouldn't have been called on Denver for roughing the quarterback. Well, it shouldn't have been called on Eddie Goldman either. Bad calls even themselves out. Sorry. Life. It's the way it goes. Then on the receiving end of bad calls. Both ways. So that's that. Like I said, show goes fast. Getting away from us. Tomorrow I have some ASU sound for you. We'll have that interview with Andy Carrasco. We'll talk more football. I have a couple guests to get to. We'll do all that tomorrow right here on The Cave Show with PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at The Sports Cave, where Cave is with a K. SportsCave.com. Catch up with what we have going on. Again, Cave is with a K. You can get me. PLR on sports. Big time thanks. Always a call in. To Gary Romero, my man, I appreciate you calling and touching base. I guarantee you, it will not take us forever to get him back on this show. We do all that. We get all that done. Tomorrow, we'll get more into football. More into football. Didn't even really get to talk about the D-backs today, but we'll get into that tomorrow as well. And have any more injury updates that may come out. Get some Monday Night Football game today. Can Cleveland stand up? And the Jets. And they play with the big defensive side tonight. They have no QB, no wide receivers, and their best defensive player. We'll find out. We'll talk tomorrow. Everyone have a good rest of your Monday. Until then, this is the case of PLR. This is PLR.